Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus, our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
Are you ready to rumble tonight? So tonight is a passion point for me. If we don't know each other, my name is Nick Brent. I help give leadership to Circuit Riders. I'm so glad that you're here. We're in a series on the Holy Spirit, and tonight we want to zero in and talk about hearing God's voice. We don't want to just talk about hearing God's voice. We want to talk about hearing God's voice in seasons of intensity and pressure. Because how many of you know that I would love for my life to be peaceful all the time, where I can get that wonderful quiet time in the morning and just hear God so clearly? But how many of you, like me, life is happening? Your boss is texting you, where are you? Your university professor is, where is your paper? Your mom and your dad, what are you doing with your life? Your brother, I'm mad at you, why are you mad at me? Your friend, ghosting you. Life is happening all of the time, but how do we hear God's voice in the midst of it? And for me, hearing God's voice is an essential part of my relationship with Jesus. I think so many people live beneath God's full intention of what he would have for them for their life, which is that they're having a one-way conversation with God, and they're not making room for God to have a conversation back with them. How many of you have been on a date before and your date didn't talk very much? Anybody here? Anybody here? Okay, like five of us? How many of you have been on a date? I just want to affirm that really quick. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's why you're here. Amen. Okay. That's why there's so much nervous energy in here. Like, she's over there. God, give me the strength tonight. All right. I've been on some bad dates. All right. I really have. And I remember going on a date in university. How many of you ever said yes to a date because you were being nice? Anyone else besides me? You said yes because you felt bad? Yeah, I did that. So I went on a date. And it was one of these like freshman in high school deals. The roommates asked someone else for their roommate. Very weird freshman activity, but I was trying to fit in. I was trying to make friends. So I said yes to this. I showed up. The girl was so pleasant, so nice. Couldn't be a nicer, probably way more quality human being than I am. But she didn't really talk. And she answered in one word answers to everything. What do you think about this place? Good. Why are you in college? God. Do you love God? Yes. What's your testimony? Found God. And you're like, dude, that's supposed to be about 45 minutes of material. What's your passion in life? I mean, I'm like moving through the most intense interview. I feel like literally it's become an FBI interrogation at this point. And I am longing to leave this restaurant, and the service is slow. Finally, we get through the time. We get back to our college campus. I'm a freshman at the time, walking in my dorm. She's like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with some of my friends. Do you want to come? And I lied. I want to confess. I lied to her. I said it was 8 p.m. And I looked at her in the face and said, actually, I'm going to bed. And I don't think I've ever gone to bed at 8 p.m. And I literally walked inside, said, sorry, God, my bad, but I just had to leave that date. Emergency. Now, for a lot of us, we laugh, but your relationship with God is kind of a one-sided bad date. And we come into his presence and we do a lot of one-way communication, but we don't stop and wait to hear his voice back to us. And if we do hear his voice back to us, sometimes we just kind of go, thank you, God, for this. That's amazing for this season. Love that. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that encouragement, right? Someone prayed for me at the altar. Maybe I felt a Bible verse when I was in my quiet time. Maybe I sensed something from the Holy Spirit this one morning. But then all of a sudden, you move on. When I believe that the Christian life is supposed to be an ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit. I need to live in an everyday flow of, God, what do you have for me today? Living with a sense of wonder. God, where might you be leading me today? What might you be doing today? And now every day I don't have a booming voice from the sky. Not every day do I sense like an inner voice in my heart, but every day I do sense the word leading me forward. I sense the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. And for all of us, I can only imagine what would a church be like in Orange County, in LA County, in San Diego County, in Riverside County, in Southern California. If every single person that came to church lived with an openness to the Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? What are you leading me today? How many gospel conversations would happen every single day? How many miracles would be taking place all of the time? How many miraculous moments of provision and intervention and guidance and leadership would be taking all of the time? And I think some of us, we can fall into two extremes. We either really don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We know he's God, but we don't really talk about him. We get freaked out. We just think of like internet videos about like, beware of the Holy Spirit people. And then like, be kind of afraid. Like, am I gonna hit you with my jacket tonight? I am later. I actually have it back there. That's a joke, but I might, you never know. So keep you on your toes, right? You either are kind of nervous because you watch some stuff, or over here, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is kind of like the relationship with the genie from Aladdin, which is that you go and ask him for stuff when you need stuff. Holy Spirit, help me right now. Is it A, B, C, or D on this test? Right? How many of you literally, you have made like life-altering bargains with God? God, if you get me out of this jam, I will literally follow you. I will be a pastor, God. I commit to you. Right? And we come to God, or we kind of treat him like the, you know, the magic eight ball. Like, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? Okay, like I could apply for Google. I could apply Chick-fil-A. They're Christian. That could be interesting. God, consulting? That might be interesting. Career path. God, should I be a scientist? Should I try to act? Should I go to LA? Oh, no, I shouldn't do that. I should be an influencer. Should I be a vlogger, God? YouTube, is there a career? And we're kind of treating the Holy Spirit out of alignment with how the scriptures actually present the Holy Spirit, what his role actually is in our life. If you got your Bibles with me, I want you to turn to John 14, verse 26. I want to look at, first, the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, but number two, I want to apply this to a case study of what it's like trying to hear the Holy Spirit in the intensity of life. It says this, but when the Father, this is Jesus speaking, sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. It goes on in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. See, what you need to understand about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit loves Jesus. What you need to understand about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit wants to lift up Jesus in your life. He wants to lead you to Jesus. He wants to make a big deal about Jesus. He wants to remind you of the words of Jesus. He wants to illuminate the scriptures so you see Jesus speaking to you through the scriptures. He wants to apply the life of Jesus in your life. And sometimes we separate the Holy Spirit from what his job is, which is to lead us to Jesus. So we're like, Holy Spirit, I want to feel your presence. But it's not just about feeling something, it's about Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, Holy Spirit, what am I to do with my life? Speak to me. Well, it's not separated from following Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you kind of guide me? Would you show me this answer to this or what's going to happen there? And would you minister to me? And would you comfort me right now? But he's there to do this in the context of your relationship with Jesus. And for me, if I can be honest, there have been so many moments in my life where my relationship with God really becomes me-centered instead of God-centered, where my relationship with God is really God is surrounding me, and it's about my life and what I need and where I want to go. And I have to have moments where I shake myself awake and go, what am I doing? This is not how it's supposed to work. I'm actually supposed to humbly submit myself to the God-centered life and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk about? Where do you want to lead me? Where do you want to elevate Jesus in my life? J.D. Greer talks about that in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 59 times, but 36 times the appearance of the Holy Spirit, he is speaking. He is speaking. The Holy Spirit has specific instructions for you. I was talking to an incredible businessman. We were having breakfast this last week, and he's such a man of God. He's just such an inspiration to me. And we're talking about, what do you love? How do what you do in the marketplace? You know, it was so amazing. He goes, you know, I go to all these Bible studies and they're amazing, but they're mainly about gaining more information. It's mainly about learning new theology. It's mainly about learning new facts about the Bible. It's mainly about gaining more knowledge up here. But he goes, I just wish we would stop sometimes and wait on the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have us do? And he goes, so much of the secret of my relationship and success in business has not just been just the business wisdom. All that's very important. He's very good at what he does. But it's also that he lives with an open hand saying, Holy Spirit, what would you have for me? It's amazing. Some of the people that are most inspiring to me, the secret sauce behind their life is not just their gifting. It's their personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. John Piper writes, Scripture is clear that the Spirit's role most fundamentally is to elevate, to extol, to honor, and glorify Jesus. That is not to put Jesus forward, not the Spirit himself. The Spirit's goal and missions are always to put Jesus in front of people. So the Holy Spirit's job in your life is whenever you start putting the self-centered glasses on, he's like, yo, 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 it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Whenever we start getting off track and we start doing our own thing, the Holy Spirit's like, yo, it's Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's what you're looking for. Some of us, we don't realize that. Some of us, when we get convicted for the things we do, it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And we immediately start translating, like, God's mad at me. Kind of, you start thinking of like a really angry third grade teacher who was threatening you. How many ever got yellow cards and red cards? Where you at? Where you at? Who here got a yellow card? Where you at? Come on, yellow cards. Who got the red card? I want to see. Just get altar call right here. Just go ahead. Claim that thing, man. How many of you ever got sent to the principal's office? Come on. Where are you at? Come on, principal's office. You know what word I hate so much? Demerits. Who here got demerits? Like, you just got, like, the nasty stuff. What even is that? It's terrible. I just feel like I need healing from it, counseling right now. Right? How many of you, right, we think of God, we feel the conviction of sin, and we feel like he's that angry teacher sending us to the principal's office. No, it's the Holy Spirit alerting you, saying, you're walking away from Jesus. He's over there. The longing of your heart is not over here. It's over there. The life you're looking for is not over here. It's over there. Jesus is speaking to us through his Holy Spirit. It's what Zach was talking about last week. It's so crazy that Jesus literally says, it's better if I go, because the advocate, the helper is coming. Now, all of us don't have to walk across town to hear a word from Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit resident inside, and we can hear a word from Jesus in the morning. We can hear a word from Jesus on the way out the door. We can hear a word from Jesus in our car on our way to work. We can hear a word from Jesus while we're sitting at our office. We can hear a word from Jesus while you're walking between classes. We can hear a word from Jesus when we literally are stuck in back-to-back traffic driving to LA. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us that gives us access to Jesus. To Jesus. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit speaks in all kinds of crazy supernatural ways. The Holy Spirit is kind of that friend that freaks you out. He is. He is. In John 3, it talks about the Spirit blows where it will. It's going this way or it's going that way. How many of you have a friend, they do what they want, and you don't know what they're going to do? I saw this guy on Instagram, and he goes in public places around California, and he acts like a seal. Have you seen this guy? Maybe he's come to Monday night. I don't know. But whoever he is, he's hilarious. And I have had friends like that where you just are drinking a boba and all of a sudden you are in a video. You did not ask to be in a video. You are now in a video. I have friends that are crazy evangelists, and there are moments where I'm tired. I don't really want to get in a deep spiritual conversation, but we're in an elevator. Here's the craziest one. I went airsofting. It's like paintball, but with plastic BBs, all right? And literally, we're at this paintball course, and there was a warning because someone had a gun on the property, so they smashed us all in this office. It's like 50 people in there. They're trying to protect us. And my buddy, who's an evangelist, literally, imagine 50 people packed in a room. He goes, attention, everyone! He goes, I don't know if someone has a gun and has ill intent for all of us, but here's what I want you to know. Is your life right with Jesus? And I'm like, bro, it's a birthday party, dude. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? And he literally preaches the full gospel and gives an altar call. And dudes with paintball gear are walking up to the front like this is a Monday night. And they're like giving their life to Jesus. And literally in the most dramatic turns ever, like he didn't pray for them. He didn't lead them in a salvation's prayer. He just goes like very Bible. He goes, go and sin no more. Just looked at him. The alarm went off. Okay, everything was fine. Everything. He just walked out and went and kept playing paintball and dealing people all day. Like, do you have friends like this? Do you have friends who order crazy things on the menu and want you to try it? Am I the only, man, you all need crazier friends. I have crazy friends. I remember going to eat in Asia with a friend of mine, and he was from that part of Asia that we were in, and he made me order every local delicacy that he knew would freak me out. I was eating duck tongue. He didn't tell me you're not supposed to eat the bone. I'm eating the bone and the tongue. I'm like pretending it's delicious. I'm like, wow, this is a wonderful. I'm eating all kinds of stuff. But it's so fun to be with people who are unpredictable. And a lot of our hesitation around the Holy Spirit in the West is we like control. I like control. I don't like to be told what to do. I like to know the plan. I like to know what this is all going to lead to. I like to know the outcome. I mean, just think about every sales funnel. For every course, for every product ever, this is what the product does. This is exactly how it works. Here's all the benefits that you gain if you use this product. And if you buy now, I'm gonna give you $45 off. But the Holy Spirit's like, get in. Where are we going? I'm about to drive away. Get in. And a lot of us, though, we're like, I'm good. Until we're in a crisis. I'm like, Holy Spirit, where are you at? Where's that lowrider Acura at? That was scared to get in. Where's that? Yo, Holy Spirit, where are you? What are you doing right now? I could use your help. But man, there's something so powerful when you go, you know what? This is the way that Jesus leads, is he is the leader. He is the leader. He's not throwing out all planning. He's not throwing out all structure. He's not throwing out all wisdom. That's why the book of Proverbs is in here. This is why there's so much wisdom throughout the scripture. But there is a different kind of wisdom from the Spirit, is that sometimes it's good for us not to be in control. Sometimes it's good for us not to get our own way. And he speaks so many different ways. I imagine right now, literally as I list these, you're like, I think actually God has spoken to me in this way. Number one, his primary voice is the scripture. Right here, this is his word. The Holy Spirit wrote this thing. So you don't need a prophetic word tonight at the altar. You can open your Bible and get one. Check it out. I'm gonna tell you something right now. You don't have to wonder if God loves you. You can just go over to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. That is a prophetic word to you. Jesus on the cross is a word to you. His resurrection is a word to you. Number two, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You've ever been somewhere and you just, something just resonated in you. Like, this is of God. I need to be here. You ever met someone, you go, I need to learn from you. You ever listen to a message, like kind of click on a YouTube message at night, and then all of a sudden 5 minutes, and you're like, I need this. How do you know that? Why do you think that you need this? Why did you click on that? It's the Holy Spirit. Impressions, gentle nudges. There's been moments in my life where the Spirit has just nudged me. I remember one time there was someone in our community that the Spirit just nudged me to go check on. And I remember trying to call this person. I couldn't get a hold of them, so I got in my car, drove to where they lived, went in their house, and they were having a mental breakdown. How did I know that? I didn't know that. It was the Holy Spirit giving me a subtle impression. Dreams. God gives dreams at night. Now, not all your dreams are from God. Did you know that? Right? The clown chasing you around is not from God. Right? The shark eating you alive is not from God. Well, maybe. No, it's not. It's not from God. Right? There's a lot of ways that God speaks that you can be deceived in, but we're going to get that in a moment. That you can see a vision, a picture in your mind, a moving picture in your mind. Trances, open vision. These are experiences that the Bible describes that people were awake, but they were so overcome by the Holy Spirit, it felt like they were not even present where they are, and they were seeing this vision in someone's mind eye. Some people have reported hearing an audible voice from God throughout Scripture. I have met missionaries. In fact, one of the craziest missionary testimonies I've ever heard is that this man in India would wake up to an audible voice in the morning telling him to go very specific places in the country, and he would literally walk to those places and have the most insane encounters with people who have never heard the name of Jesus, and they would give their life to Christ. Inaudible, right? There are moments where I feel like the Holy Spirit whispers, but there are moments where the Holy Spirit shouts. There's been moments where it just felt like Holy Spirit shouted into me, don't go in there. Don't mess around with that. Or do this. This is me. or I love you, I'm with you, you're going to be okay. Angels show up in the Bible. Now, I'm open for it today, but check this out for a moment. Don't be starting new religions, all right? We're gonna get into that in a moment. So that's like, you gotta put a little asterisk there. That's a, you don't wanna be like, sometimes you get around weird charismatic cults like, I saw an angel. You're like, you did? Where was it? It was over there. It was moving around the corner. It was waving a flag over me. You're like, what is going on? What are you? Everyone in the Bible who saw an angel was scared to death. You seem like someone who's like excited about it and you seeing it and you have no fear of God in your life, no life change. Other people, a friend can speak to you. You ever have a friend call you in a weird moment? You ever have like grandma just call you right when you, like, what are you, grandma, why are you calling me right now? I'm praying for you. And you're like, why are you praying for me? How do you know what I'm doing right now? This is crazy, right? Peace. God speaks through peace. You ever just made a decision like, I don't know if this is the right job, but I just, when I took the job, I felt peace. Or you've ever felt unrest, like, dude, this is not right for me. I need to leave this place. There's so many other ways that God speaks. He speaks through timing, providence. He speaks through circumstance, open and closed doors. He speaks through your conscience. This is the point. God has your number. He can speak to you, but are you open to hearing his voice? Is your spirit open to hearing his voice? Is your heart open to hearing his voice? Now, how do we know that we're hearing clearly? Everyone say, the Bible. Say it like you mean it. Say, the Bible. Say it like you mean it, because I'm getting nervous that one of you going to make up a crazy prophetic word tonight. Say, the Bible. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything and hold on to the good. When you are hearing a word from God, meaning an impression, hearing his voice, right, that Holy Spirit relationship, you need to test it against this book. Everyone say, test it. You ever hear, how many of you just, let's all get healed together. How many of you have ever been given a weird prayer from someone that did not resonate with you? You were like, why do they always have bad breath? Why is their hand always slimy? And why do they always pray for you without invitation? Like, excuse me, I have a prophetic word for you. Can I pray for you? And you're like, no, you cannot. I don't know. Did you brush your teeth? I'm afraid, right? Now, when it's the real deal, it's life-changing. When it's the real deal, it's life-changing. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. But there has to be this reality that we don't just hear and listen to everything. We have to test everything against this book. The attitude is like the Bereans in Acts 17. Now, these were noble-minded men, more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scripture daily to see whether these things were so. Meaning this, if you want to hear God more clearly, you need to know his word more clearly. If you want greater discernment to know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, leading to you, you need to know this book. What is the Holy Spirit's job? To bring the words of Jesus to remembrance. But if you don't know the words of Jesus, how can he bring them into remembrance? And so what's happened is, I've hated this, is that you've even seen this in the body where it's like Holy Spirit people over here and Bible people over here. And I'm like, how can you have one without the other? Holy Spirit people untethered to the Bible make up weird stuff and damage people, but still see miracles and all kinds of stuff. And Bible people without the Holy Spirit put everyone to sleep and model dead religion to young people, and it disillusions them and leads them away from Jesus. See, what I believe Jesus and what I believe a generation is looking for in Jesus, they're looking for people who God is alive in their life. I think the number one compliment you can get in your life is someone says, dude, you know God. How do you know him? I can tell. You talk to him. Like, this is a real thing. I never want it to be the case that I live my life in such a way that my kids look at me one day and go, oh, it was all religion for dad. It's performative. He does Sundays. I think he reads his Bible. He doesn't really worship. He just sits there tight-lipped. It's not real. It's just a tradition he lives out. And I want the testimony of my life for my son Cal to come in, and dad is worshiping a real person. Dad is submitted to a real person. Dad is full of the Holy Spirit. Dad is praying and just came out of the prayer closet with the download. Dad is leading everyone into repentance. Dad is leading everyone to Thanksgiving. Dad is leading everyone to worship. Dad is leading everyone to live out the word. And this is my ambition for you. What your coworkers need to see is not someone with a cross saying, Jesus is my Savior, but not living it. They need to see someone who's alive in the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be that crazy friend in people's life. And here's what my generation believed, and it's a lie. We need to fit in with culture, not be distinct. We don't want to offend, because if we offend, we won't draw people to Jesus. We need to make Jesus as relatable as possible to everybody. But in all of church history, what has grown the church is not us trying to go buddy, buddy, we're all the same. It's us being distinct. It's us being different. I don't want to be someone that's in my life that is the same as everyone else and has the same joy as everyone else. I want to outjoy everybody because I'm connected to God. I want to outlove everybody at my work because I'm connected to God. I want to live with tons of optimism because I'm living connected to the ultimate Redeemer. I don't want to be the cynic calling out the faults in everyone because I'm connected to the Father who sees them as kids, who's made them in his image. I want to live such a life where I'm alive in the Spirit. Is this what you want in your life? But right, the number one determinant, I just read this today, the number one determinant if your kids are going to follow Jesus if it's real in your life. Right, I think that's what's happened is some of us, we've had parents who love God and are faithful, and it's amazing, but there's something that didn't resonate with you in the relationship where it was performative, it wasn't real. And you gotta know this, dude, I've traveled to so many universities across America, I've talked to so many young people all over the place, and you can tell if it's real. I can tell, talking to you, if this thing is real. I can tell you, man, if you're singing about the cross is real in your life. In California, I love this place. I don't want to leave this place. I want to die in this place. I love this place. But it will tell you every single day, it's about you, it's about you, it's about you, it's about you. And Christianity can quickly become the Sunday tradition to see some friends, to worship because we know it's good for us, to yield our kids one day to the kids' church, to hopefully they end up as Christians like I am. When a generation is crying out, asking to meet the real deal, your relationship with God is supposed to be the proof of God for the people around you. Most people are not coming to God because of a logical issue. Like, there are so few people who are in the room tonight going, you know, did God create the world in 7 days or was it billions of years? That's holding me back. No, there's already plenty of apologists who talk that way and talk this way and make clear the Bible kind of seems like it could go either way. There's not a lot of people who are sitting there waiting for a logical reason to give their life to God. People make decisions actually not very logical at all, even though we claim we're logical. We make emotional decisions. We make decisions around desire. Like when you ask out a girl, girls, when you say yes to a dude, there ain't no logic going on. I'm telling you, I see this. Like, why do you like them? I can't explain. Something about them. Exactly. No logic involved. I just believe in him. Why do you believe in him? What has he done to make you believe? He smiles, man. His smile. What? Why do you like her? Why do you want to be married to her? She's the one, I know. Yeah, but why is she the one? There's a lot of ones out there. Why is she the one? Because. Like, think about how many people choose universities because they like the architecture. The vibe at UCLA is so nice. This is where I want to get my degree. It's like 10% of people are actually going to a university to really seek their degree program. People are looking for something embodied and real. Now, here's the thing. How do you start to build confidence that you hear the voice of God? Here's where the bummer is. You have to act on it. A lot of us want more proof before we do something. But the Holy Spirit's inviting you, saying, hey, go talk to that person. You know how you know that's God? Go talk to that person. God's like, I want you to go do this. You know how you figure out if that was God? You do it. As long as it lines up with scripture. If God's like, go steal that Snickers bar. That's not God. It's not God. You need to read the Bible more. More Bible verses for you ASAP is your prescription. Bible project on repeat. Go to bed with the Bible project just subconsciously going into your brain. Hold on. Can we do this really quick? Can we just have for fun moment really quick? Look at your neighbor and say, just for fun. Just for fun. Let's all, no condemnation, no shame. How many of you read the Bible? Can you raise your hand? Okay, this is encouraging. I'm deeply encouraged by this. How many of you, though, you were a little generous with yourself and you believe that you maybe should read a little more? Yeah, okay, a lot. It's all the same people. We need to get this thing in us. This is how we know when the Spirit is speaking to us. This is how we discern. This is how we know what God is leading us for. Like someone, I remember I was on evangelism, like, I just felt supposed to talk to that person. I don't know if it's God. And I'm like, do you think Satan is here to be like, go preach the gospel to that person? No, Satan, no. People just get so over-spiritualized. They get so stuck on everything. They're like, I don't know what job I'm supposed to take. I have 3 job offers. What if I pick wrong and ruin my entire life? Dude, if it literally, God's grace only worked on you threading the needle of every decision in your life, dude, you've already missed it a long time ago. We're already on like plan 40 at this point, if it's all on you. You messed this thing up so long ago, it's unbelievable. You think you're still in the Lord of the Rings journey? No, you got taken out by the ogre in scene 2 if it's up to you. No. The Holy Spirit is leading you, not through this, like, he's not like, how many of you ever played Where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? Some of us acting like God's like, where's Waldo? He's like, I'm hiding. Hopefully you can find your calling. Oh, you missed it. Judged. Like that's how we interact with God. It's so hilarious. God has different questions for us. You're like, what law firm should I work for? God's like, no, it's not about which law firm you work for. It's about what kind of lawyer you're going to be. Oh, snap. He's like, oh, Holy Spirit, wait, I like the direction part. No, I want to talk about your integrity. I'll make clear which one you're supposed to go to. See, God has no problem shutting doors on you. How many of you have ever ran into a shut door from God? Like, you're like, this is God. Smack, not God. How many of you have had that moment? She is the one. She just said no. Rejected. You're praying in that story. She's going to say no 19 times. And then the 20th time, she's going to say yes. No, don't do that. Today's, that was cool in the Bible. Maybe. I don't know if it really was ever cool. Just respect the no, bro. Respect the no. I really sense God is bringing it. Don't. If someone says, God told me you're my spouse, literally sprint outside the building. Just literally sprint outside the building to the nearest church and say, Pastor, protect me from this person. Do not believe. God just told me that you're mine. What the heck, dude? Stay away. Stay away. It's not the vibe. Not the vibe. So we know that we hear God. There's so many ways he's speaking to us. He's primarily speaking through the word. This is what gives us discernment to know that we're hearing from him. But number 2, we have to act on it. And when you act on it, you build a history with God that gives you confidence that you're hearing him. So I have a history in God of little whispers he's given me that I've acted on that give me confidence to jump on that whisper again. Now here's what I want you to feel for your life. Is I want you to adopt a sovereign mindset. And this is what I mean by this. What I mean by this is that God is involved. That's what I mean by this. I don't mean that he's causing every single thing in your life, right? You ran into the curb, busted your tire. God didn't do that, you did that, right? You yelled at your brother, hurt his feelings, created a rift in the family. God didn't do that, you did that. Are we tracking here for a moment? Terrible injustice around the world, God is not doing that. That is human sin and brokenness. But here's what a sovereignty mindset is, that God is involved somehow. God is gonna speak somehow. Holy Spirit's going to lead me somehow. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Psalm 139, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen, and if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. You will find me. See, what I'm telling you, whatever you're going through in your life, why this is so fun is I'm not living life alone. I'm living life with God. I'm going to work with God. I'm talking to my family with God. I'm having hard conversations with people with God. I'm reading my Bible with God. I'm in a car ride with God. I'm on a date with my wife with God. And at any of those moments, I live with an open hand saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? And when you live with that kind of openness, it's not every single day that fireworks and encounters are breaking out and the Spirit's breaking in. But all of a sudden, when he does, it changes everything. I am telling you, some of the greatest moments of my life are those brief moments where I sense a whisper in my heart of what the Lord is saying. I remember being in an absolutely lonely season, disillusioned in my life. You ever been in a moment where you felt you lost the storyline? You felt like you missed it, and you just couldn't figure out how to get back on the freeway, right? Spiritually, your GPS not working. Your phone's out of batteries, you're driving around some city somewhere, you don't know what's going on metaphorically, and you go, what is going on? I remember God crashing in one of those moments in my lowest, and all I felt in this inner voice in my heart was, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. I love you. Oh, man. Those moments I treasure. The moments in the Word where I'm reading. And I'm not just, dude, there's a lot, most of my reading in the Bible is just reading the Bible. I want you to know it's so normal. Like, literally, I've been reading through the Psalms. I'm just cruising. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. I'm like, man, that's really good. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with you. I'm just reading through this, drinking my coffee, and that's it. I just kind of ate a piece of bread. Just got some daily bread in. Nothing profound. But then there are some moments, and a verse jumps off the page. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, man, there's been some psalms this last few months has jumped off the page and go, oh, this is me. This is for me right now. I'm in this. And all of a sudden, something's activated me and I'm interacting. I'm not just reading anymore, just receiving. I'm having an active conversation with God. I start praying the psalm. Dude, I go crazy sometimes. I worship God with my bad voice by myself. Start worshiping him. I start praising him. And all of a sudden, I sense his presence. It's so subtle. I go, God, you're with me. Oh, man, those moments are worth a million normal moments. Because when the Spirit makes himself known and speaks to our heart and brings Jesus into our mind and lets us see Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, here's the deal. I love these moments, and I love Holy Spirit tonight. When we worship at the very end, we're going to pray for as many people that want it, and we're going to pray for you that you would hear God more clearly in this season than you ever have before. We're going to lay hands for those that want to receive prayer tonight, and we're just going to believe and contend that literally just that gift of prophecy would be stirred up inside of you, that you would hear the shepherd's voice in a clear way, and we're just going to ask God together that you would hear and know the Holy Spirit with even deeper confidence. But here's the thing, most of us are in the middle of something right now that is wild. There are moments in my life where I need an answer. I can't feel like I can't receive the answer. I just have to move by faith. And I want to do a live case study very briefly as we land this tonight. I want you to see how wild the Holy Spirit is, that he acts differently than we expect sometimes. And this comes from the Old Testament. It comes from the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 3, if you have your Bible. And here's Elijah. Elijah says, it says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. Elijah just showed down with a bunch of false prophets who worshiped a false god. And if you've read this story before, he literally built an altar, put a bunch of wood on it, and then literally said, the other false prophets build an altar, put a bunch of wood on it. And Elijah says, whichever god answers by fire is the true god. Well, the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, fire comes down the altar and embarrasses all these other prophets. They go to war. Elijah wins. And now he's after this spiritual battle. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that was youth group night for you? You're like, dude, you know what we did tonight? We went outside in front of the local witchcraft and new age shop. I built this little kind of box. I said, God is going to light this on fire. And then God lit it on fire. And you're like, wow, this is insane. So he's coming off this big spiritual high. But what happens is the queen of Israel, Jezebel at the time, hears about this and says, I want to kill Elijah. And so Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on to be alone in the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. Okay, number one, he's in a low moment. This is real. He's in real depression. He's in post-revival hangover. He does not know what's going on. He has officially crashed out. And for some of us, there's two categories. Some of you have dealt with real depression, and this is like a real thing that you have dealt with. And if that's you, you need to ask for help. You need to make your needs known, and we want to make sure that you get the proper help. But then some of us, though, we just be kind of Gen Z in it, and we just be crashing out. How many of you ever had a real solid crash out? Like where everything was going good one day, and the next day, everything is being reconsidered. Am I even supposed to be getting this degree right now? Oh, I've already spent $25,000 on this. Oh my gosh. Should these even be my, are they even my real friends? Are they just friends for me? They always want rides. Maybe they just want me to drive them around. Do they even care? Am I at the right church? Am I at the right thing? Should I move? Should I go to Nashville? I don't want to go. I hate country music. I don't want to go to Nashville, God. Maybe if I hate it, God, you want to send me there. Oh no, God, I don't want to go to Nashville, God. I don't want to listen to country. Like we live and we have these crash outs of all kinds of, God, where are you? What are you doing? Elijah is in this moment where he has lost perspective. He needs a word. Here's what I love. This is so relatable. Then he lays down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate, drank the food. It gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Okay, here's the first thing. In real life, we got to separate what is practical and what is spiritual. So here's Elijah, he's completely crashing out. And here's his spiritual advice. Take a nap, eat a sandwich, hydrate. This is literally what God's remedy for him. Dude, you are in a low of a low. You don't need a new prophetic word right now. You need a nap, you need a sandwich, and you need some water. Some of you, you're like, God, I'm so broke right now. He's like, get a job. Why won't you provide for me? He's like, get a job. God, do a miracle in my life. Where are you? Get a job. It's practical. All my friends always betray me. Get new friends. Seriously. God, I'm around my family. It's totally discouraging all the time. Move out. Get your own place. God, no, do a miracle here. Do a miracle here. Here's a miracle. Get your own place. Right? Some things in life are not spiritual. They're practical. I feel terrible, God. Just give me strength today. You eat like trash. You don't work out. You don't see the sunshine. I feel sick, God. Where are you? Where are you? I'm right here. Dude, you went to bed at 4 a.m. last night. No wonder you feel terrible. God, I feel a lot of negative emotions, Lord, all the time. I don't know what I should do. Go to therapy. No, God, just do a miracle in me right now. Here's the miracle. Go to therapy. Well, God, I don't want to. No, there are amazing Christians out there. who will help you, walk you through the difficult moments of your life. Some things in life are practical. I feel so much pressure. I feel like I have to perform at my job. You do, or you get fired. So much stress about school. Good, it's expensive. Do your homework, read, go to the library. Get your work done, right? Some things in life are not spiritual. Actually, they are spiritual, but they're practical. And not everything in life is a crazy, insane, mystical encounter from the Spirit. And so some of us in here tonight, do you know what your spiritual step of hearing God's voice is? God's voice is leading you to do practical things. I'm up and down all the time, God. Are you in your word? No. Okay. Do you go to any kind of discipleship group? No. Okay. Do you give to anybody generously? No, of course not. Wait, what? Have you ever shared the gospel before? I could never, God. I could never. My life is the gospel. You know, someone will just come up to me one day and just go, you look like a Christian. Lead me to Christ, right? No, it's not how life works. You have to actually share the gospel, right? Some of our life is just practical. Look at your neighbor and say, get practical, bro. Now, the other side is that we can also under-spiritualize. We can live in a funk, and sometimes the funk is spiritual. Sometimes we're breaking through something in life. Sometimes there needs some prayer. There needs some intercession. There's some spiritual warfare. There's some things going on in your life, and you need to activate your faith, and you need to move forward spiritually. In Elijah's case, it's both. He needs a nap. He needs a sandwich. He needs a new assignment. He needs to go for a walk. Don't you love this? God's like, I'm going to give you the answer in a moment to everything you're answering, but first you need a nap, a sandwich, and drink, and you need to go on a 40-day walk. Some of us, we want to answer right now, and God's like, you need to cool down, dude. You just need to go back to work for 40 days. Wait, what? God, go back to work? Now, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. I'm going to get to you in a minute, but we just need to just recover, chill, then I'm going to give you the word. It goes on, and it says, there he came to a cave where he spent the night, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Right, when we swirl out in life, when we lose our bearings, what the Bible is kind of getting at is we typically really lose our bearings. Like when we feel things as humans, we don't feel them lightly. We usually feel them strongly. Who here feels things strongly? Who here has strong opinions? Who here gets strongly offended? Who here gets strongly annoyed? Who here gets strongly road raged? Wow, I love the honesty. That was amazing. That was just, I just wanted to see who to avoid in the parking lot. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He doubles down. He replies, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came. Travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael, the king of Aram, gives him a number of other instructions and ends with this, yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down the knee to Baal or kissed him. Okay, here's what I'm getting at here for a moment. All of this seeking, all of the difficulty, all of what he wanted answered, God didn't really answer him in the way he was looking for. That's what our relationship with the Holy Spirit is. Sometimes the conversation we're on is not the conversation the Holy Spirit is on. Some of us are going, God, what do you do with my future? 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 And it's like literally silent. Because God doesn't want to talk about your future. He wants to talk about who you're becoming. We're like, wait, God, wait, what? And don't you love this? He literally goes, he wants a new assignment. Elijah literally is like, kind of, God, I'm done with this. I can't handle this anymore. I don't want to be a prophet. There's no other prophets out there. And this is the instruction. Go back the way you came. Go do your prophet stuff. And by the way, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 others. Some of us, we're just not used to how the Holy Spirit operates in our life and how long some of the processes he has us in really are. God's already spoken something to you and you're still walking it out. You don't need a new word. Well, it's been 2 years, God. Awesome. You got 40 more to go. You want to talk about something else? Sometimes the Holy Spirit in our life asks us more questions than he does give us answers. God, what should I do? What brings you joy? No, God, just tell me what to do. I have to think now? To discern now? What brings me joy? I'm stressed. God, what brings me joy? The Holy Spirit is after leading us in his way, not our way. And his way is more about bringing Jesus front and center in our life, where we begin to look like him. We're concerned with making our life center around him, where his ways begin to permeate our decision-making, where we learn to grow in grace and understand God's ways. Like, really, right now, how can I be out of God's will if I'm serving and loving everybody around me? How can I not be in his presence if I'm literally saved by grace and the Holy Spirit has made his temple inside of me? See, I think that the Holy Spirit, for so many of us tonight, you may be in a difficult moment in your life. You may be in a moment where you're trying to hear him, discern him. And what I'm trying to tell you is, dude, I'm telling you, he has a lot to say if you want to talk about Jesus. But sometimes he's a little bit silent when we just want to talk about us. When we recenter the conversation on Jesus, it's amazing how much the Holy Spirit has to say. When you go, Jesus, okay, Holy Spirit, what should I do in this next scene to bring God the most amount of glory? Dude, you're going to hear from God. Men, band, you can come up, by the way. Men, if you are thinking about who you want to marry one day, and you go, God, who is someone I could partner with to serve you faithfully and lead others to Jesus? Oh, the Lord's going to lead you. If you're going, Jesus, how can I be more loving to those at my work? The Holy Spirit's going to have a lot to say. If your word is, Jesus, can you speak to me right now what it looks like to be more patient and live out your values? He has so much to say. But here's the crazy part. All of the loud noise, how did the Holy Spirit come at the end of the day? A whisper. A whisper. It is amazing how many of the craziest decisions I have ever made in my life were off of a whisper. It is crazy how many bold steps of action I have taken because of a whisper. But the way that you build that boldness is you act on it. This week, literally, I challenge you. Start to treat the word not just as something to learn about, but as a conversation. When you open this thing and you start to read it, dude, you should just go to Matthew 5. I'm serious. This week, to just practice hearing from God, you should go to Matthew 5 and start having a conversation with God on how to live this out in your everyday life. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Stop right there. And you should just go, God, do I need you in my life? How can I need you more? How can I make myself more dependent on you? Dude, you're gonna have a crazy time with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's gonna wanna talk to you about that. The more that you interact with the words in this Bible, as God's word to you. Dude, it's going to electrify your heart and bring you into a dynamic new season of walking with the Holy Spirit. See, my passion, my dream for all of us in this place tonight is that all of us would be walking into this next season with an active relationship with God, not just one that we visit him on Sundays or visit him on Mondays or visit him on Wednesdays or visit him at our community group, but that we live in an all-day openness. God, what do you have for me today? What are you saying? What are you doing? Where are you? How are you speaking? When you live like that, dude, life gets so full. The adventure gets so crazy. When I was in college, I remember I had a dream one night that a giant whale was about to eat me. And I woke up from the dream. And for those of you that don't know, that's like very Bible symbolic, right? The story of Jonah. And I just remember going, God, what am I running from? I'm in college right now. I'm trying to, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand this. I'm being obedient to you. I'm following you. I went and visited my grandparents in Oregon. I was going for a walk to the forest, and I called my dad. I said, hey, I had this crazy dream. I don't know what's going on. He goes, Nick, maybe God is calling you to do something like risky and something crazy. And I was like, really? Like what? And all of a sudden, what starts coming to my mind are all these people who prayed for me before I went to college, that my college was going to be unorthodox, that it wasn't going to be normal. And I felt a whisper, this impression in my life that I was supposed to continue school online, leave the university I was going to, and start being an evangelist on university campuses. The craziest thing. I was like, are you serious, God? This is so crazy. I called the lady who gave me an almost full ride scholarship. I call her. I say, hey, I know this is so crazy. I had this dream. I was praying. I was discerning. I feel this impression. I feel like God's asked me to be an evangelist. Seems to be confirmed with all these people who prayed for me throughout my life. This is so wild. I mean, it's clearly biblical. Like God, you know, God calls people to evangelism. She goes, Nick, I was praying for you this morning. God told me you're going to call me. God told me you're going to tell me something that would make no sense to me, but that was God, and I was supposed to continue to help you. That lady became my first missionary supporter. That lady put me through college. It's the reason why I was able to be part of Circle Rise, the reason why I'm here today. But isn't it crazy that all of that was off of a whisper? Tonight, I don't want you to leave with a sense of fear. What if I missed the whisper? Dude, God's too good for that. He was able, dude, he got through to me. He sent a dream of a whale eating me. God can get through to you. He knows I'm a caveman. He knows I need like multiple rounds. He sent, right, older people in the church to come and pray for me at the altar and say, your call is not gonna be. Dude, I think 3 to 5 people must have come up to me when I was graduating high school just saying, hey, I was praying for you. Your college is not gonna be a normal experience like everybody else. God is a good God. He's not hiding in the bushes like Waldo, hoping you miss him. No, he is going to get your attention. But here's the thing. Are you paying attention? And are you open to doing what God may ask you to do? I've sat with business people who made their first strategic move in business because of a time in prayer. And all of a sudden, a domino effect of success took place because they moved on what the Holy Spirit was leading them to do. A moment of risk, a moment of faith. I've met people who planted churches off of a whisper and they're still a pastor decades later. I've met worship leaders who wrote songs that have gone around the world and they thought the song was bad. They were gonna get rid of the song. But a whisper in someone else in their team says, I think God is on this song. We need to put this song out. And some of those songs are the most popular songs that we all sing in the body of Christ. Dude, would you have faith to live your life hearing the whisper and following his voice? Would you stand with me tonight? I remember in high school, I'd always try to hear God. I saw other people hear from God. I just so wanted that to be a reality in my life. Every time I would pray, I think I made it up. I don't know if it was really God or not, but I just would see a picture of a smiley face. I think I just wanted to hear from God so badly. Just every time I went to pray, I just never heard him. Until one day, I was a janitor at a church, mopping a floor, and I just sensed God was lead me to do something wild. I said yes in the moment of prayer. I didn't even say it out loud, just said it in my mind. And that night when I walked back through the door of my house, all I can explain is I just felt the Holy Spirit move through me. And from that day forward, it was so easy to hear the voice of God. And my life has been marked by moment after moment of God intervening in supernatural ways to guide me. And I just believe that that is the Christian life. That is what's modeled in the book of Acts, is being guided by the word and being led by the Spirit. Tonight, what I want to do here is we have some ministry teams. If you're part of the ministry, can you just come forward and line the front here? And I want to ask you to do something bold tonight. If you know that you want God to speak to you in a clearer way, you know that you are contending to hear God a deeper way, we want to pray with you and for you tonight. We want to pray that literally that the Holy Spirit would make his voice so clear to you in such a profound way. And as a step of boldness tonight, I'm just going to kind of break the ice here. Someone's going to have to do it. As we begin to worship, we'll all mosh pit and worship after this in a minute. But if you know, like, dude, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, when you're saying something's coming alive in me tonight, I want more of this, would you just be so bold and just come out of your seat, walk down to the front right now? Just come out of your seat. If you're like, dude, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to live that Spirit-led life. I just want God to move in my life. Come on up. We're just going to start praying for you as the band begins to lead us into worship. If you want prayer, you want us to just lay hands and pray with you tonight, just believe for the Holy Spirit to meet you in a deeper way. We just want to make room for what the Spirit wants to do tonight. We just want to invite you, come out of your seats, come down here. We just want to minister to you. Our teams want to pray for you as the band leads us into a time of worship.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.